What is up, guys? Welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by John Kegley, my co-host here, to talk about the Chargers 2019 offseason. Me and John are both writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for three seasons now, but this is our first with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. Well, we're going to start off with some news on today's show because we did learn the Chargers had a new free agent signing. And the sad part is it's only Jalen Watkins, so it's nothing to get too excited about. But there's definitely some stuff to talk about there. And then this show, as you can tell by the title, is our 2019 free agency profile for the linebacker position. We all know the Chargers need linebacker help, so there's some guys that could definitely help them in this year's class. So, John, let's go ahead and first get into Jalen Watkins. I was so surprised to see it scrolling on the ESPN scroll at the bottom of the screen. Jalen Watkins re-signs with the Chargers. And I wasn't surprised that they re-signed him. I was just surprised that that was big enough news to make it on the scroll.
Yeah, it is kind of weird to see a sign like Jalen Watkins scrolling down the bottom of ESPN, especially when we can't even get coverage for a big play or a big time win, but yet a signing of Jalen Watkins was good enough for ESPN. I am kind of puzzled by that.
It just didn't make sense to me when I saw it. But as far as what Jalen Watkins is as a player, first I'll tell you that this is just a 1-year deal. He signed for over $800,000 last year with $90,000 in guaranteed. And I'm guessing this year it's a smaller size than that even. Maybe even the minimum. We don't know the details on it yet. But this is a very low risk to signing for the Chargers. But, John, what do you make of some people saying that Jalen Watkins had a good chance to play some free safety last season if he had not gotten hurt?
I don't know. I was really convinced that he was more of a special teams guy and could maybe play some free safety, but that wouldn't be the actual normal rotational player. He would just be that guy that maybe gets a snap here and there just to give two guys a rest if they really needed it. But I was more convinced that he was going to be your special teams kind of guy, that guy on punt team that's running down there making the tackle, the guy on kickoff team running down there to make a tackle. I feel like he was that kind of guy, but for him to be in the rotation, I'm like 50-50 on it. Lots of people are saying that he could be the replacement for Jahlil Adai, but I highly doubt he would be much better than Jahlil.
I mean, even if he was better than Jahlil Adai, is that really saying very much? And I think that's the only thing that gives credence to the fact that some people thought he could play free safety last year is because of how bad Jahlil Adai was. Because even in his time with the Eagles, Jalen Watkins played sparingly. But he does play on a unique team that at the end of the season broke out a package that had seven defensive backs. And I'm not saying that they're going to do that going forward or that's going to be a staple of the defense. I mean, you saw it got obliterated in the playoffs. But this is a team that likes to get safeties on the field and use other safeties as linebackers. I mean, he's on a team where pretty much all of the safeties got used last season. I mean, even Rayshon Jenkins made his way onto the field later on in the season. So I think that it's such a low-risk signing that it's absolutely worth it because we don't really know what he can do, but obviously they see something in him that they think that they can build on, and they see the potential, and it's not really costing them anything. So you need depth in that free safety class, especially if you're going to – in that free safety position group, especially if you're thinking about possibly cutting Jahlil Adai, you have to have somebody there. Rayshon Jenkins is out of position there. So I like the signing, but John, do you think that this is going to stop them in any way for still looking for the free safety of the future in this offseason?
I don't. I think they're still going to look for somebody. I don't think they're going to want to spend a ton of money on it, but I think drafting-wise, they could probably still look for it. They could get somebody who's maybe somewhere around the $2 million range, someone that just fills the spot. Not necessarily is the future guy, but will fill the spot. If you happen to find that future guy, then great, but I don't really see them getting that future guy this offseason. And I had a thought here that I'd like you to go over, Wade. What if Jalen Watkins is more of a insurance player in case Adrian Phillips leaves and Jalen Watkins fills the Adrian Phillips role?
I mean, I think it's a smart thought process. I think that you have to at least consider that as a possibility. I have no idea how he would be able to assume that role just because Adrian Phillips is a very unique player and we haven't seen enough of Jalen Watkins. But I could absolutely see the insurance play of it just because, like I said, you need guys there, whether you're having them play linebacker, whether you're having them play free safety, you need bodies. And if it's anything like the last contract that Jalen Watkins had, if he doesn't make the team, Tom Telesco is going to have himself an opt-out clause that's going to save him most of that contract. I mean, last season, about 10% of his contract was guaranteed. So you'd think something similar, especially coming off of a season-ending injury, would be in play this year. But we didn't come on here to talk about Jalen Watkins. We came in here to fix our linebacking problems. So we have a ton of guys to go over. KJ Wright, like Eric Williams talked with us about. There's guys Quan Alexander, CJ Mosley, amongst others. That's just a few of them. Let's go ahead and get into the linebacker profile for 2019 coming up next. All right, John. Well, we have some names to go over. And since this is the name that most recently was talked about with us with Eric Williams, let's go ahead and start with linebacker KJ Wright, who's obviously on the Seahawks. On the surface of it, it seems like a great fit, John, just because he played in Gus Bradley's system in Seattle. He fits a position of need. He probably won't be super expensive. What do you think about possibly bringing in KJ Wright into the linebacker room?
I would like it, but he has injury history, which the Chargers team seem to have a lot of on this team already. So do you want to risk injury history with this guy? I would say, yeah, probably, but there's other guys that are still decent linebackers that you can get that don't have that injury issue. And let's just put it this way. He's 30 years old, so he probably has a few more years left in him. So you're not going to have to give him an extremely long contract worth a lot of money. You could still get maybe like a four-year deal that might cost you some money, but we all know that Telesco knows how to play his hand in those contracts to get out of them after a couple of years. So I would say it would be a low risk, high reward type of move.
I would agree with that. And that's what I was going to say is, you know, with his age, with the injury history, you're not going to get a perfect player, but at least with a guy like this, that probably pushes down the price tag to something that the Chargers could stomach. Because let's be honest, if he was never injured and he was 2 years younger, the Chargers probably wouldn't be in play because they wouldn't have enough money to go get a guy like that. But KJ Wright's just a super solid player. He's not overly good at any one thing, but I mean, his Pro Football Focus grade last season was a 71.3. So you would absolutely take that over just about any of the Chargers linebackers at the moment. 71 in run defense, 67 in coverage. I mean, those numbers are way better than what the Chargers linebackers were able to do this season. So I think, you know, if you could give him that three-year deal with an opt-out on the third year, I could absolutely see KJ Wright, you know, being able to get at least two productive seasons.
Maybe two productive seasons, but
if he's healthy.
If he's healthy. But with the way Gus Bradley seems to bring in a lot of players he's been around before, do you really want to take that risk? Also, I mean, remember when he brought in this guy named Ace Pollard?
I was thinking Brandon Mebane.
Oh, even that too. Like, he brings in all these guys that he used to be around, and then they come here and they don't play well. I mean, I see a trend here that makes me kind of suspicious to playing with guys that Gus Bradley used to know.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, it makes sense, but I think that it's still worth the risk, I think, just to give yourself a chance. He's not the only guy in the room. You're still going to have to bring in other bodies. But his low price tag is worth the upside, in my opinion, to maybe bring a guy like that in. He's not as good as a run defender, but he's way better in coverage than a guy like Denzel Perryman, who also comes with his own injury risk. So I think the risk is worth it in this case, but it's definitely a case-by-case basis because Gus Bradley doesn't have a very good track record of bringing in guys he's coached before. But let's get into another guy who had a promising start to his career and is a really athletic guy that's been a good player at points, and that's Quan Alexander on the Buccaneers. This is a guy that I was super excited about going back a few seasons, but his play has really deteriorated over the last couple seasons. And I think the problem with Quan Alexander is the thing he's best at this point is pass rush. He's a 78.8 grade on Pro Football Focus rushing the passer, but that's not really the type of linebacker, John, that the Chargers need.
No, we need guys that can stop the run. Even if you get guys that aren't the greatest at pass support, you need guys that are good at the run support, even if that's their only skill. If they're going to be a two-down linebacker, that'll work great. And with Quan Alexander, he's a guy that likes to help in the passing game. And also, as I mentioned the last time, there's injury issues with this guy. He tore his ACL in October last year, so I don't really want to risk a guy that's a liability injury-wise and is also a weakness and something we need and a strength in something we don't need. We have Da'Tavius Brown already for pass coverage. We don't need another Da'Tavius Brown-type player. We need guys like maybe L.J. Fort, for example, who plays for the Steelers. He is like a two-down player. He can stop the run on the first two downs, and when it comes to third down, you got to kick him out of the game if it's third and seven, and you got to bring in another linebacker, like another Da'Tavius Brown player, to play that third down play.
Yeah, John, I think it would be worth having a guy like that, just so you have a guy that can play those two downs and shore you up in run defense and have other guys who can specialize in pass coverage, and you already have a pass rush that could maybe use a little boost, but that's not exactly what you're looking for. But you're not going to get a perfect product in this. But another overall really good linebacker, John, is CJ Mosley. And I know that's a guy that really interests you.
He does interest me. And I personally think he's not what everybody says he is. He's not this extremely great player at every single thing he does. He, in my opinion, is an above average at every position all around linebacker, basically. So everything he does, he's at least pretty good at it. He's not really good. He's not great. He's at least pretty good. And that's good enough for me. If you're at least pretty good at pass, at least pretty good at run, I'll take that in a heartbeat. If you're someone that's pretty good at this and sucks at this, I'll take CJ Mosley over you any day.
Yeah, absolutely. Just because he's just a football player. He's an overall good football player and linebacker. And what he's best at is what you're worst at, and that is stopping the run. It's just crazy, John, because how many times last year we said the Chargers' run defense is a fraud. It looks good, and it's really not. This guy can step in and immediately help that. I mean, he has an 80.1 grade in run defense, a 73.6 overall by Pro Football Focus. And last season, he had a 10.6% run stop percentage, which means 10.6% of the time somebody ran at all, he was getting the tackle for it. And you just could really use that. Unfortunately, I think that the price tag will probably be a little bit too high.
It definitely will probably be a little too high. But if you're going to get any big name free agent at all, it's either got to be someone on the defensive line or someone in the linebacker if you're going to get anybody expensive. And CJ Mosley would be a guy I might take a risk on for an expensive contract.
You might. I mean, it's hard to think about what those numbers are going to be because primarily inside linebackers don't get giant contracts in the offseason. The teams just aren't willing to usually give those out. I'm sure Baltimore will absolutely try to bring him back, so you'll be getting in a bidding war with at least one team and realistically many other teams. So I don't know if it'll work out with CJ Mosley, but he's absolutely a guy we would be willing to bring on. But there's a couple other guys on the linebacker wish list that I want to get to. But first, I need to tell you guys that this episode could have been brought to you by your company or your product. If you're trying to find a way to reach new customers, you can get it out to thousands and thousands of people every single week if you sponsor the Locked On Chargers podcast. Our demographic is 98% males with a higher education and more traditional earning than most audiences. And you can sponsor the Locked On Chargers podcast right now by emailing me at dwade42. JulioOdai56@gmail.com. We do not have an off season, but we can hook you up with a special offer to advertise with us now. All right, John, it's time to get into the final few guys that we have on our 2019 linebacker profile. A couple more guys that I'd be very excited that if the Chargers brought them in. But there is one guy I want to start with that I've seen his name kind of floating around there who I absolutely do not want, and that is Deion Buchanan. He's a guy that his snaps have decreased the last four seasons in a row. He hasn't found his place. He had a sub 46 grade by Pro Football Focus last year. But he was a guy that is versatile. He's kind of that hybrid safety linebacker position. And you might lose Adrian Phillips. I know people don't want to hear that. So I see people making – I see why people would see that as a fit for the Chargers. But I'm staying away if I'm Tom Telesco.
I absolutely agree with you on that one. I wanted to bring him up on this show just because I've heard his name around a few people's messages, if you will. I'm not going to say exactly what they were, but he was really bad with the Cardinals last year.
Yeah.
He was horrible. I mean, I would even go with a word like atrocious. He was absolutely horrible, and I cannot see him with us. If he's with us, it's going to be like the Manti Te'o experiment. It's just going to be a guy who looks lost, or even a Kyle Emanuel experiment. It's a guy that looks lost, and you're wondering what the heck is going on with this guy. Do we really just get rid of Kyle Emanuel for another Kyle Emanuel? I do not want to see this guy in a Charger uniform. I totally agree with you, Wade.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers really are Kyle Emanuel-esque. I mean, his coverage grade was a 43 on Pro Football Focus. I mean, the only numbers I even see like that or when I'm looking at guys like Kyle Emanuel. So absolutely stay away. I know the athleticism and the hitting can, you know, make it seem like a tempting offer to, you know, give him a contract, but absolutely not. But there is a guy I would love for the Chargers to give a contract to if they have enough money to do it, and that is Jordan Hicks of the Philadelphia Eagles. After missing 2017 with an Achilles injury, Hicks bounced back in a huge way last season, leading one of the better linebacking corps in the NFL with an overall grade of 80.7 by Pro Football Focus with a run defense grade of 81.3. I watched some tape on this guy, and he is a lot of fun to watch. I mean, injuries, yes, you know, that might be a factor in it, but an Achilles injury is kind of a freak thing. I'm super excited about the prospect of being able to bring in a guy like Jordan Hicks.
I am somebody who, when the Chargers game is not on NFL Network, when they do the replay games, I always try to watch the Eagle game. I don't know why. I just love watching the Eagles defense. And Jordan Hicks, as you said, is a lot of fun to watch. I would love to have Jordan Hicks on the Chargers roster. He would help this defense out so much. I wouldn't even hesitate to say bye to Denzel Perryman if we got Jordan Hicks. I wouldn't think twice about it. And if you have Jordan Hicks on your team, you could probably draft another inside linebacker and get, which is basically is another guy for cheap. And Hicks can teach that guy to be just like himself. And now you have basically almost two Jordan Hicks on the field. It'd be a veteran presence. It would be a guy that knows what he's doing, a guy that's talented, and a guy that can teach a younger guy to be just like him.
Well, and the thing he's the worst at is fine with me, because the one thing that he doesn't excel in and he's only average in is pass rushing. And that's not really what the Chargers need right now. And just being a serviceable pass rusher with the amount of times that the Chargers bring linebacker blitzes, which seems to be less and less, they're not a high blitzing team. He would be fine in that. And I don't know how much money it's going to cost, but he's at the top of my list for free agent wants.
Amen.
And for linebacker wants, because this guy is a baller. He's a former third round pick who probably should have been a first round pick. He had an 88.3 grade his rookie season, then had the Achilles year where he had a 64.3, and then brought it back with an 80.7, but also, like I said, had his best ever year in stopping the run. So Jordan Hicks, I mean, I really hope they can do it, John. Do you think there's any way that they work out the financials enough to be able to bring this guy in?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I know.
This is the Chargers we are talking about here, who aren't big on giving big contracts unless they're worthless contracts like a Robert Meacham. But
Derek Cox.
Oh, Derek Cox. I mean, the list can go on forever. I'm sure we can name players for days that we're just like, really? You gave that much money to that guy?
Yeah.
But I want to feel like there is a chance that we do it, but if it's a huge contract that is ungodly amount, I don't think there's any way it happens. It depends on what he's asking for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just have no idea. It's like I said, you just don't know what these inside linebacker contracts are going to be like, because these guys typically don't get paid the big bucks, and there's no, you know, Ray Lewis on this list to pick from, even though there are some good players. But John, what do you think when I tell you that he missed 5 tackles all of last season and 775 snaps?
I would say, does he have his own camp on how to learn to tackle so that every Charger player can go there and learn?
Honestly, I mean, that number like is ridiculous.
I feel like that's the amount of missed tackles by every single linebacker on the Chargers in one game each.
Yeah, I have once remembered Jatavis Brown missing that many in a row. In a row! Yeah. And that's what this guy did.
Too.
Yep, and that's what this guy did over an entire season. I cannot speak highly enough of Jordan Hicks, because he could be a game changer.
If I had to put some specifics down on what I'm looking for in a linebacker, it would be a guy who knows how to read the run and will literally wrap up and tackle hard. Not a guy that's just going to run over to that running back and wrap up from the side of him like so I see some NFL players doing. I want a guy that's going to read the hole, run through that hole, and go chest and face mask first into that running back and wrap up and bring him to the floor. What we've been seeing on the Chargers is a guy that reads the hole, and then he just sits there in the hole and waits for the play to come to him, and then doesn't even put himself into that running back. He just absorbs the hit, or he waits until the running back makes a move, and then he's trying to tackle him from the side with an arm tackle. And there's your missed tackles that we've been getting all year, and that's why we suck at the run defense linebacker-wise. The other reason is defensive tackles, of course. That's a different show. But
yeah,
with the kind of tackling we do as a linebacker, it's atrocious, and we need a guy like Jordan Hicks or even a guy like CJ Mosley, who's actually going to throw themselves into somebody, make that read, and penetrate the hole to make a play. We need those type of guys.
We do need those type of guys. And another guy, the last guy I want to bring up for this list, is a guy with huge upside, huge potential, and a guy who's kind of been on the rise the last 3 seasons, and that's Anthony Barr. He's kind of a confusing guy to watch, because if you watch any game outside of the game against the Rams where he had 3 touchdowns scored on him in individual matchups, he doesn't look like a bad defender in coverage, but that's the game that people look at to say, this guy can't do it. I think it was an anomaly. He was pretty good. Outside of that, he's good in the running game, and he's also good at rushing the passer. Has almost an 80 grade rushing the passer, which is pretty ridiculous. But those 3 touchdowns that he allowed really stand out. They were also the only 3 he gave up in coverage all season long, but he's definitely an interesting prospect, Anthony Barr.
He is, but I think he should be a 2-down linebacker as well. I know that sounds weird with how good he is and how talented he is, but I think he's another one of those 2-down kind of linebackers. I think he'd be an expensive one too. If you were to get him just to play 2 downs, first and second down, would you say it's worth the money, Wade?
No, I wouldn't, but my counter to that is, I mean, he got exposed in man-to-man coverage, and that's not what he would be used for in Los Angeles. I think he'd be mostly in zone coverage, which I think covers up a little bit of that.
Yes, but we've also seen situations where our linebackers were man-to-man and getting beat, like Kyle Emanuel against a fullback.
Anthony Sherman.
Exactly.
But there's no way that Anthony Sherman burns Anthony Barr. I will promise you that right now. And that's all it takes for me. Sign me up.
Yeah, but then there's also other situations we've seen where we've put a linebacker in coverage on a wide receiver and that linebacker's getting burned.
Yeah, you're talking about Hayes Pollard. Can we not talk about that? I mean, we had Hayes Pollard matched up with Tyreek Hill at one point. No one ever forget, and that's when I wanted Gus Bradley fired. He's done some okay things, but I mean, I saw Brandon Meebane drop into coverage one time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, what do you think he's going to do with Anthony Barr? Gus Bradley does some weird stuff with these players. I don't feel like he plays to the players' strengths all the time.
Yeah.
So that's what makes me a little bit worried about putting Anthony Barr into coverage. Unless it's in the flats, if we were to use him strictly in the flats, like a guy that fakes the rush and then backs off and is reading the flats, he'd be great at that.
Yeah, well, and the Chargers linebackers do that a lot, but you can't necessarily always predict that with the Chargers. I mean, you just really don't know how they're going to do things. They get a little bit too tricky with it and don't play to their players' best strengths all the time. But, I mean, we're talking about, you know, improving an abysmal linebacker coverage unit. So, I mean, coverage isn't my biggest concern. You definitely have to be able to cover. But I would take a guy like that even for, you know, the first two downs if you get him on a reasonable contract. But I think, you know, teams are going to see the potential in Anthony Barr and give him a decent-sized contract. So the Chargers might not be in the running there. And if it turns into a bidding war, I don't really want him, as bad as that seems.
I would agree with that. If it turns into a bidding war, you're going to just lose out on all the other positions you have just for that one guy, which is why I'm going to go for some cheap guys that fit my style of thing. So I'll give you a couple of guys, Wade, and I want you to tell me what you think of them. So one would be Jake Ryan, who played for the Packers. He missed last year with a torn ACL. But he's excellent in the run support. He's a really, really good run stopper. And another guy would be LJ Fort, who played for the Steelers, who is a two-down linebacker who is really good at stopping the run as well.
Yeah, I like all those because I think, like we talked about before, it shores up a one part of your defense and it helps you out a lot in that way. I mean, LJ Fort and Jake Ryan are both guys that are known for stopping the run. LJ Fort, I mean, has a 64 in pass coverage, so he's not the worst in the world. He actually graded out better than Anthony Barr did, and he would be cheap. So I would absolutely be happy with that. I think the Chargers could make something out of that. But that also, John, kind of goes back to the point, are you going to use these players the way that you should use these players and not how they're going to use them? So I like LJ Fort more than I like Jake Ryan, but I think both of them could help what you need on this defense.
Yeah, and the reason why I brought both of them up was for the exact reason that they are cheap and do what you need. If you're good at that one thing we need, then we can use you for that one thing we need for cheap money. Whereas if you want to get the guys we mentioned before that we really like C.J. Mosley and Jordan Hicks, you might have to break the bank for those guys. And if we were to get them, it's not like any of us would complain. We might complain about the money they got, but we wouldn't complain about having them.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, both those guys, I mean, are putting up plus 70 grades as a linebacker, something that no linebacker on the Chargers was able to do. So I think especially Jake Ryan, I mean, coming off of, you know, a season in which he didn't play at all, you could get those guys for reasonable contracts. And I think I like those deals better than I like the Chargers chasing someone, driving up the price point and overpaying someone, you know, probably for longer than they're worth just to get a guy that they like. So I really love those points by you. And I think we got to most of the big names. I'm excited to see what they do with the linebacker position because I think overall it's one of the positions that they could improve the most this offseason. But we are going to have other position groups, mainly safety, probably coming up next where we'll break down all the biggest safeties in the league. You have Earl Thomas, LaMarcus Joyner, HaHa Clinton Dix, Landon Collins, amongst other guys out there. John, you can't laugh when I say HaHa Clinton Dix.
It was just the way you said it.
Okay, guys. We've devolved into an elementary school show here. We're laughing at HaHa Clinton Dix.
It's just the way you said it. It had nothing to do with the actual name. The way you said it.
Well, perfect. I hope you guys can get excited about some HaHa Clinton Dix talk coming up on the next show where we preview the safety free agent class. But that wraps things up for the linebacker show. Thank you again for everyone that tuned in. If it's your first time, if you're an everyday listener, we appreciate it. All the same, make sure to go follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. Make sure to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, and also subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from and leave us a review. You can even unsubscribe and subscribe again. We will take it. Anything helps. And we do want to get back into hearing your guys' opinion on the Locked On Chargers voicemail account. We always play the voicemail call, so make sure you call in at 323-524-7924. We want to hear your voice on the show, so let's get after it. But we will talk to you guys later. Take it easy and go Bolts.